The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
The Warriors probably realize how close the Rockets were getting. Should we just let the Rockets catch us, or should we go out and make ourselves better?
Nobody's disputing that, AJ. I don't know why you're arguing that.
But
nobody's saying they shouldn't do it.
That wasn't interesting. They went to seven games, and apparently one player missing two of them.
Honestly, that was the only interesting series in the entire thing.
I prefer a league where it's actually interesting. But when there's one team that's just head and shoulders above everybody else, that gets boring after a while.
Brian McCann out 4 to 6 weeks, knee surgery. I would have liked to seen them maybe make a move for a catcher.
You don't like Max Stassi?
I do like Max Stassi, but McCann's also getting up there. It's not a need. I don't think they have too many real needs.
Can we agree that Max Stassi has been their better option at catcher this year?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You lost your backup catcher for a couple weeks.
It's a month.
I guess if it's an emergency situation, maybe Gattis can gear up.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at John Snow with a zero. At Degenerates 975, you can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You can also watch us on live stream. Just go to ESPN975.com, click on watch on live stream. And DJ Jimmy says hello, his first time on the live stream.
So. Hello, DJ Jimmy.
And welcome.
The question of the day, Fred.
Okay.
Can I trust Dallas Keuchel in my fantasy baseball lineup? What Dallas Keuchel will show up tonight against the Texas Rangers?
I'd pass. I'm going to go with hard pass here. I have a sneaking feeling he's going to get shelled.
Okay. I think I'm going to pass.
I don't think his last three starts have been better. And even though he gave up the five runs against the Jays, he did settle down and pitch pretty well. If he can get out of the first inning, but I don't trust him in Texas. I never have.
So okay.
If he were mine, I would have him enjoying his popcorn.
Okay. Take a day off.
Getting his popcorn ready.
Take a day off. Have a rest.
So a couple quick follow-ups. 979 says, I'm 26 and me and my wife went to see Incredibles. Incredibles 1, I was 12 when it came out. Do I get a pass or am I a creep? No, you get a pass. That's fine. But a 53-year-old man who already looks a little creepy doesn't need to be in a theater with a bunch of kids. That's my theory. And then Maddie, Pink Valkyrie, says that we should go watch it with her daughter Maddie and her. And I was like, that's even more creepy.
You're like borrowing a kid?
Yeah, you're essentially, just because you're tagging along, you're still borrowing a kid. Now, if when my daughter gets back in town, she says, hey, I'd like to go see Incredibles 2, that would be fine. And then I'll go see it. And sometimes on stuff like that, I'll ask, hey, you got any interest in Incredibles 2? So we'll see. Although, I don't know if she's still into that. I mean, her movie tastes are getting to be very scarily like mine. And it's like she was all about the Infinity War and Deadpool 2, stuff like that. So she's getting a little old for Incredibles. But I thought, yeah, it's kind of a cool movie. All right, 713-780-ESPN. So America's going to be, what, 242 years old? Is that right?
Something like that.
Man, I remember the bicentennial.
I lose time after 200.
When America was 200, I remember the big celebration.
I don't remember
that. And that was 42 years ago. Yeah, you were a few years away from being conceived.
I like the idea of it.
There might have been some near misses before then, but yeah.
Yeah.
But it was.
But 250 is going to be a big one.
Yeah. I hope I make it to that. That'd be kind of fun. That'll be the big one in your lifetime. Because 300, that might be pushing it.
I won't make it.
Yeah. Jong might make it. Asians age well. He's not paying any attention to us.
No, I guess we'll see.
Do Asians age well or do they just live a long time?
Both. Dude, I'm telling you, there's some older Asian women at my gym that still look really good.
I mean, have you asked how old they are?
No, but I can tell they're not. They're more than 60.
Because I always picture like old Asian men as having like really long facial hair,
That's racist.
And yeah, I know. I'm just telling you, like, I don't think that's what they all are, but I'm just telling you the first thing that pops to my mind, if you said old Asian man,
you're thinking
I'm thinking of the guy who, like, sold gremlins to the kid in Gremlins.
Or the mystery of Dr. Fu Manchu.
Right.
Which, of course, was played by a white guy. Peter Sellers played.
What a shame. What a shameful misappropriation.
That was one of those movies from my youth that I haven't seen probably since then. I love that movie. I'd probably see it now and be disappointed. The fiendish plot of Dr. Fu Manchu.
I would guess you would be.
Yeah.
You don't think that's held up?
I'm guessing it didn't. I'm it's guessing not, it's probably very, very racist now. But, yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. So I have some. John, were you a Sonic the Hedgehog guy?
Yeah. I played the video games and I watched the cartoon.
So did you see who's going to play the villain?
What's that red hedgehog called?
Knuckles.
Yeah, it'll be Knuckles.
Well, they're making a... No, he's playing Robotnik.
Oh, I don't remember Robotnik.
I don't know much about Sonic the Hedgehog. I do know my son played it early on. But they're making a movie, Paramount, and Robotnik will be played by Jim Carrey.
Okay.
I'm kind of wondering what was happening to him. I haven't seen him lately.
So he's going to be it's going to be animated, right?
Yeah, yeah. So he's the voice.
Okay.
But still. Yeah, it's weird, man. Like, I saw some movie on this morning. I don't remember what it was called. And Steve Guttenberg was in it. And it made me wonder what the hell had happened to Steve Guttenberg. Because he had a stretch where he was one of the biggest stars. Like, he was doing some of the biggest movies in Hollywood.
Yeah.
He kind of got his first big role in Diner. And then Police Academy was just a monster. But then he was in Cocoon and one other big one. I can't remember what it was. Oh, Short Circuit.
Oh, yeah.
And all those were big movies back then. And then he's
and 3 Men and a Baby.
Yeah, and that was the other one. And then the sequels to Cocoon and that. And then dude just fell off the map.
He was the other guy in 3 Men and a Baby.
Yeah.
Because the other two guys were more famous than him.
Yeah.
He's probably had the most successful career of the three by now.
Oh, I don't know. Tom Selleck probably had the most successful career. He was in that, right?
Yeah, Tom Selleck and Ted Danson were the other two guys.
Yeah, I'd still think they probably were, because they both made a lot of money in television.
Should we compare net worths?
Yeah, I think we should. I think that's how we determine it.
Okay, Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, by the way, somebody says the old Asian man in Big Trouble in Little China. He was also in Golden Child, that same guy. That's who you're thinking of.
Steve Guttenberg, net worth $15 million.
Okay, that's solid.
That's good.
That's solid.
Ted Danson. Net worth?
I'm going to go 27.
Ooh. Now, this is weird because this isn't a picture of Ted Danson. $60
million. Wow.
For Ted Danson.
Well, you think about Cheers and...
And he just did... He's doing a show now, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's that? The Good Place?
Yes. From all indications, I think that show's doing very well.
Yeah, I've heard so.
Yeah, he's... Good.
My wife likes that show. I haven't watched it, but my wife likes it.
And I think he was on CSI for a while.
Tom Selleck, $45 million. So I stand corrected.
Yeah, Ted Danson wins that one easily.
He's on...
Because, well, you get on a good network show, you're making nice money.
Well, and Tom Selleck's been on two good ones, too.
Yeah.
Because he was on... Well, I guess three. Because he was on The Rockford Files. He was on Magnum P.I., and now he's on Blue Bloods.
Yeah, Blue Bloods comes on a lot.
I don't watch it, but
I've watched it a couple times, and it's one of those that now that I've actually seen every Law and Order and every Law and Order SVU four times, it might be time for me to switch to something like that. Although I don't spend as much time at home just watching TV while I'm working anymore. I'm actually this whole kick about going to the gym, but I may try that because I've seen a couple of them, and I like him as an actor.
Man. You know what could have totally changed Tom Selleck's career? So Tom Selleck got the role of Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
But in his contract, they would not allow him to do any other projects.
Wow.
So he had to pass on the role of Indiana Jones.
Oh.
Which then went to Harrison Ford.
Oh, that would have been, he'd have been good at that.
And here's the worst part of it. It turned out that the shooting of the pilot for Magnum was delayed over 6 months by a writer's strike, which would have enabled him to complete Raiders of the Lost Ark. And thus he could have made tons more money.
Yeah, man, that sucks.
Man.
You know what he was really good in? And this is a movie you guys probably haven't seen, Quigley Down Under.
Oh, I've seen
that. Western. That's a good movie.
Magnum P.I. was like one of my favorite shows when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, he's, and I love Westerns, and that was a nice twist to go do it in Australia. And Alan Rickman is the bad guy, and Lauren Sangiacomo is the love interest. I always had a thing for her. And, you know, he was like this badass sniper with that. That's a good movie. That's one I watch if it's on. You ever seen that, John?
No.
Okay. You should watch that. It's called Quigley Down Under. And, you know, it's not a porno. It's about him going to Australia.
Do you want to guess what Harrison Ford's net worth is? Tom Selleck could have been?
It's got to be double Ted Danson at least.
$230 wow. million.
Yeah, because that dude flies his own airplanes. I mean, he crashes them, but he flies
right.
them.
But he's also got all the Star Wars money. That I mean, he probably could have just skipped out on Indiana Jones and still been pretty rich.
Yeah, well, it's like Chris Pratt now getting the Jurassic World money and the...
he don't need that.
Yeah, he's also getting Galaxy money and everything else.
By the way, that Sonic the Hedgehog movie?
Yeah.
Live action.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Live action / CGI.
Oh, no. It's going to be horrible.
Danson was in Bored to Death on HBO. Was bummed when that got canceled. That was a fun little show. It didn't last very long. But. All right. 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. 409 says, quit lying to everyone about you going to the gym, old man. Yeah, if you think I'm lying, I don't care. I know there's a lot of older Asian women who see me in there every day.
Fred, I can always tell Fred's been in the gym because he smells musty.
I shower afterwards. Jeez.
Oh, okay. It must be something else then.
Well, just that's a commitment I made. Don't have to believe me. I don't really give a rat's ass. I know I'm in there.
I believe you, Fred.
Mm-hmm. So does... Like the two or three people I see in there every day, including one of them who's a listener.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Who was nice enough not to interrupt me while I was lifting. Came up afterwards. All right. So, hey, 409, suck it. We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. So, Lamont mentioned that Henry Winkler was supposed to do Grease, but he didn't want to be typecast with the whole Fonzie character. Of course, Grease launched John Travolta. Actually, John Travolta was Saturday Night Fever launched John Travolta.
Yeah.
And I think that predated Grease. I may be wrong about that. That's getting way back there. Ben confirming Yellowstone pretty good. If you like Lon Meyer, I'm pretty sure you'll enjoy it. I miss that show.
I like that.
And Chris responding to Christina saying that only if you go to the movie downtown because we know Fred doesn't venture outside that area. Well, I'll tell you what, now that there's a Big City Wings over in that marquee, I'll Uber over there and go to Big City Wings and then watch a movie at that. But I was just Googling some big names that turned down roles or missed out on roles.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one for you. Remember the Tim Burton Batman with Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
John Lithgow went for it. But wound up making $10 million for that. So I don't think Lithgow would have been bad at the time, but I mean, he wouldn't have been Nicholson. Apparently, Emma Watson turned down La La Land, and Emma Stone won an Oscar for it.
Who turned it down?
Emma Watson from Harry Potter.
Oh.
Emma Stone, much better actress. I love Emma Stone. She's not the hottest.
She's quirky cute.
She's quirky cute, and she's fun.
Yeah.
And she's a redhead.
What's that, Zoe Deschanel? Is that her name? Is that who I'm thinking of? Like, she's not uber hot, but she's kind of quirky cute.
Yeah, New Girl.
I kind of like that in my actors. Mark Wahlberg turned down Brokeback Mountain.
He ended up doing all right.
Yeah. Sean Connery turned down.
And Heath Ledger is dead, so I would.
If he'd gone, he might be dead.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg won that deal.
Here's an interesting one for you. Sean Connery turned down Lord of the Rings. He was
to be Gandalf.
To be Gandalf, yeah.
He's too short, I think, to be Gandalf.
Well, he said, "I never understood it. I read the book, I read the script, I saw the movie. I still don't understand it."
I can't blame him on that.
Yeah, but boy, he would have been. That would have made Gandalf a much better character. Christina Applegate turned down Legally Blonde. Here's one for you. John Travolta said no to Forrest Gump.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was offered the role.
Well,
it worked out.
He took Pulp Fiction.
He had a choice between this and Pulp Fiction.
And Pulp Fiction, revitalized him. I mean, he was basically forgotten. Although, I'm guessing Forrest Gump would have done the same.
How about this? He wanted, Quentin Tarantino wanted to play Bill in the Kill Bill movies?
Who?
Warren Beatty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was interested, but had reservations about how much time he'd be shooting in China. Said, "I didn't want to leave my kids." And, Here's one that would have been interesting. The Matrix. Will Smith.
Ooh.
In the role that went to Keanu Reeves.
Ooh.
That would have been badass, right?
That would be good. I have a hard time taking Keanu Reeves seriously.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about movies that everybody's like, "Oh, I can't believe you haven't watched that." You know what I haven't watched? John Wick.
Love the first one. Second one, eh.
It's
a cool concept of a nutso hitman.
It's a little bit like the Bourne Identity, right?
Yeah.
I can't look at Keanu Reeves and like picture him being like this badass guy.
Well, that's because you almost have to think of him as Keanu in the Matrix, but you're thinking of Bill and Ted all the time.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
'Cause that's how he seems in real life.
Yeah, I think he is that in real life. But Smith said the Matrix was a difficult concept to pitch. In the pitch, I just didn't see it. I watched Keanu's performance, and rarely do I say this, but I would have messed it up. At that point, I wasn't smart enough as an actor to let the movie be. I disagree with him. I think he would have been badass in that. I like Will Smith. Nicolas Cage apparently turned down The Wrestler that went to Mickey Rourke.
Who did? Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
Oh, good call, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that worked out.
You know, there was supposed to be a Nicolas Cage Superman movie that never got made?
Yeah, I did know that.
Arsenio Hall turned down the role for Mike Lowry in the Bad Boy franchise, ultimately went to Will Smith. And Arsenio on the record said it's the worst decision of his career, obviously.
Well, the movie's probably better because it probably wouldn't have been nearly as successful.
Yeah.
Brother Bear says, Pulp Fiction brought Travolta back in the spotlight, and he's with you on binge watching now, or is my attention span like a gerbil? I prefer binge watching now too. It's harder for me to wait for a show. And also, thanks to somebody who I asked about Eureka, almost everybody said it kind of fades, so I might not like it.
I have the top 15 actors and actresses that turned down Marvel roles.
Yeah,
ooh, let's hear those.
Number 15, Olivia Wilde turned down Gamora.
Who is Gamora now?
Why is Gamora? Zoe. It's Zoe Saldana.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Much sexier in my opinion. And I love her with the green skin, I have to say.
Mads Mikkelsen turned down Malachi, the villain for Thor: The Dark World, which is not too big of a role. Tom Cruise turned down Iron Man. He said he was doing the Jack Reacher franchises and the Mission Impossible, so he was too busy.
Well, he does really well with the Mission Impossible.
Yeah, but
stuff.
Jack Reacher, that's a waste. I mean,
and the thing is, and this is one of the few times where I'm going to bitch about something. In the books, Jack Reacher is 6'6". He's a big dude.
And Tom Cruise is 5'1".
And I love the books, but I'll watch the movies and just go, he's too small. In the books, he does such a great job of describing him, and because he's so big, there's things he can do that other guys can't. And it's just, that bothered me. I do like the movies, like them, don't love them.
And Tom Cruise is like 5'6".
He's a short
lad. Yeah.
He's a short. Yeah.
Alec Baldwin turned down an unknown Marvel villain role, which they were guessing it was Alexander Pierce, the main villain in Captain America Winter Soldier. Rachel McAdams turned down Pepper Potts, and she got recasted. I guess she took the role for the Doctor in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I love her.
Which Pepper Potts, probably much bigger role there.
Yeah. Much bigger role, but Gwyneth Paltrow is good at it, but... It would have been more believable if Rachel McAdams was Pepper Potts, because I almost feel like Gwyneth Paltrow is too old for Tony Stark.
Yeah, I'm
with you on that.
Like, if I pictured Tony Stark like settling down, I'd figure to be with some young hot chick.
Yeah.
Emily Blunt turned down Black Widow.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
How would she get first call over Scarlett Jo?
Oh, I don't know. Jessica Chastain turned down The Wasp.
Jessica Chastain.
I'm not a fan of hers. I like the woman that took that role. What's her name? Hope something or other.
Hope Solo?
No, it's not Hope Solo.
Oh, no, Evangeline Lilly.
Evangeline Lilly, yeah.
Joaquin.
I get my religious names confused.
Joaquin Phoenix turned down the Hulk.
Oh, that's, is this the Hulk?
The Ruffalo?
After Edward Norton had
after,
it?
Yeah, after before they casted Mark Ruffalo.
I'm not going to blame anybody turning down that role. Those movies were so bad.
Jensen Ackles turned down Hawkeye. He's most known for his role on Supernatural, the CW show.
I'd say Jeremy Renner's a bigger name than him.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. Much bigger.
I never even heard of that guy.
Jason Momoa, a.k.a. Aquaman,
yeah.
Turned down Drax the Destroyer, which I think Batista has done a great job with that.
It worked out for everybody because, I mean, now he's making some Aquaman money. I mean, good for him.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt turned down Star-Lord.
Oh, that's surprising.
Because he was,
you know what, I like him, but Chris Pratt's perfect for that.
Yeah,
that worked out well.
He turned it down because he turned down in favor of making a Sin City sequel, which flopped. I don't know how to say this person's name. Rosier Ronan turned down Scarlet Witch. I don't really know who she is, but I think they did a good job with Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah, although, to me, that character is not that interesting. They could have had 5,000 women play that.
Mel Gibson turned down Odin.
All right.
Yeah, because, well, never mind.
Johnny Depp was apparently up for the Doctor Strange role, which I'm glad Benedict Cumberbatch got that one.
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch and Robert Downey Jr., maybe two of the best actors on the planet.
He was shooting one of his many Pirates of the Caribbean sequels.
Yeah, he would not have been as good. Cumberbatch was perfect in that role.
And Matthew McConaughey turned down Ego the Living Planet. And that went to Kurt Russell.
Somebody said, I made a joke on Facebook saying someone steals Liam Neeson's cat and he vows to kill them. Someone said, oh, that's John Wick. Yeah, it's pretty much the plot of the first John Wick.
Right.
I liked it, man. The second one, I was like, eh.
Oh, McConaughey was also offered the role for Doctor Strange. He turned that down for undisclosed reasons, and he couldn't play Ego because he was shooting The Dark Tower, which I think was a big flop.
Yeah,
I thought The Dark Tower hasn't even come out yet.
No, but it did.
Oh, no.
That came out last year.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was.
It got like a 16 on Rotten Tomatoes.
And with him and Idris Elba in it, it just, you would have thought, it can't be awful, right? I didn't hate it, but it was really disappointing. And they just tried to cram too much stuff into one movie, basically. I don't know, man. To me, Stephen King movies are, for some reason, they're so hard. You see they're coming out with the sequel to The Shining, Dr. Sleep?
No.
Yeah, they're doing that.
Oh, I think I did hear about that.
Oh, they're also doing Boogeyman.
Ooh.
Who's going to direct that Stephen King movie?
Which one?
The new Shining, or the Shining sequel.
Mike Flanagan is going to direct
it. I think Ian how do you say his last name? Ian McEwing? I forget how to say his name, but the guy that played Obi-Wan? Ewan McGregor. He's going to be starring in it.
Yeah. But yeah, Flanagan is going to direct. So I don't know much about him. But it's the one thing, the book is really good. The only thing, and I hope they get rid of this in the movie, is like his whole thing is he's going through the 12-step program, and it's just like they bang you over the head with the whole Alcoholics Anonymous thing.
So not counting The Shining, not counting Shawshank, best Stephen King adaptation?
Green Mile?
I think mine is Misery.
Misery's pretty good.
I like that one.
Carrie wasn't awful.
Carrie was pretty good.
Okay, Flanagan did the horror hit Oculus and Gerald's Game on Netflix, which I haven't seen yet.
What's the one with John Cusack and Samuel L. Jackson in it? It's a number.
I don't remember. You know what was
like a room number.
Wasn't terrible. Was The Dead Zone. The book was better, but Christopher Walken, it's an old movie, but Christopher Walken plays the main character, and I always love Christopher Walken. And the book was, that might be his most underrated book. I love The Dead Zone, and the movie wasn't as good, but it was better than most King movies. And that's when they were doing all, like, Maximum Overdrive was a disaster as a movie, and Pet Sematary, and Christine, maybe.
Christine's good.
Christine's not bad.
It could be better now because the CGI could be better. Yeah. For, like, the car fixing itself.
Yeah.
It was kind of crummy. You know what one I like? Cujo.
Yeah, I wasn't big on Cujo.
It was scary
either.
To me.
You were probably really young when
I
you saw
I was really
that.
Young. Yeah. Pet Sematary scared the hell out of me when I was
little. I bet if you saw those now, you'd be like, okay.
I don't know if I've ever watched Pet Sematary since I was a kid because it was so scary when I was a kid that I haven't...
Yeah.
I haven't even had the desire to watch it as an adult.
I guess it tends... You know, that's another good list that we should work on, the best King adaptations.
1408 is
thank
what
you.
You're...
Okay.
And the Boogeyman movie is going to be written... The screenplay is going to be written by the two writers that wrote A Quiet Place.
Okay.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes actually ranked the 10 best Stephen King movie adaptations.
There you go.
So maybe we'll do that when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Brandon says thinner was more comical than scary. I'd go the same with Lawnmower Man.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't good.
Yeah. And Sed says he still doesn't know what the hell is going on in Dark Tower. Don't feel bad. I make no bones about it. Stephen King's one of my favorite. I've read everything he's done. And before I go to Canada in a couple weeks, I'll go buy whatever books of his I haven't read yet and take them with me and read them on the plane or at the lake. I think he's got a really... Now, I know he doesn't write all of his stuff anymore because when you get that big, you have other people do it. But the one piece of one skill he had that I've tried to incorporate is he has the ability to create a character that you care about in one paragraph. And by the end of the paragraph, that character's dead. But you get this whole background story, and you can picture them, and you can see them, and then, boom, dead. That's an incredible skill, and that's like I've always said, like Douglas Adams and Elmore Leonard are my biggest influences as a writer. But that particular skill of Stephen King's, I love, and he's really the other part I kind of took from him, and I think almost everybody does it now is you write a chapter that leaves you on a cliffhanger, and then you switch to another story. That leaves you on another cliffhanger, and so the people keep reading. He was one of the first to do that and do it very well. Okay, here's his 10 best adaptations. Dolores Claiborne, 1995. I didn't realize that was Stephen King, actually. Yeah. I'm going to have to go read the book now. Number 9, 1408.
Okay.
Number 8, The Mist, 2007.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah, it's that one's not in my top 10. Number 7, The Dead Zone, which... Christopher Walken was really good and creepy in that. Number 6, Carrie. We've mentioned all these except for number 3, and we're going to feel stupid.
Stand By Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier.
Number 5 is Misery. Number 4 is The Green Mile. 3 is Stand By Me. And I always forget that that's King, too. But The Shining is 2, and Shawshank is 1.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good list, but keep in mind that there's also a lot of bombs in there. Like, to me, the most interesting story he ever wrote was The Stand, which, you know, I love the book, but it's so damn long. And they tried to make it into like a TV miniseries. And I think they're doing it for Netflix. They're going to try it again. And I also would say Mr. Mercedes kind of bombed as a TV show. I love the book, but they did it as a like a 10-part series.
Mm-hmm.
I lost interest like halfway through. It just moves so slow. But
yeah, I don't know. The Stand is up there for me. That was a really good one. I'm trying to think of what my absolute favorite story was.
Yeah, Dead Zone is my favorite. That's, I mean, now we're just talking books,
right?
Because I prefer The Shining movie to the book, even though Stephen King doesn't. But
yeah, I don't know what my favorite would be. I think It is an interesting story.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. I mean, the remake was better than the first one.
Yeah,
but it's unfortunate that they haven't found a way to like really nail that thing.
It's just hard to capture. So much of what he writes is psychological, and he leaves so much to your
imagination.
Yes, and that's
the clown in It. Like in my mind, when you read the book, that clown is way scarier.
Yeah,
than when you see it and it's all hokey on television. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mon asked Fred, do you get the same feel from reading a book on a tablet or electronic device, or do you like old school books? That is the one thing that I am still old school about when it comes to, like, I don't read on Kindle or anything like that. When I do read books, it's, I'm going to go sit out. Well, I don't have a pool anymore, but I used to go sit out by the pool and read a book. Or I'll go, like I said, when I go to Canada, I'll sit out by the lake and I'll probably read 4 books while I'm there. And then that's the only time I get to read them anymore, because when I get back, I don't have time. But no, I still like the old school book, because I haven't quite caught on to the Kindle thing. Now, it may be better for me because as my eyes get worse,
right,
I can make the copy bigger. But Chase said, did you see the made-for-TV movie of Desperation, my favorite book by him, not in the Dark Tower series? I did not. You know, Under the Dome was a pretty good book, too. The show started off pretty well, and then just kind of, eh.
What about Insomnia? Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I do.
I remember that being a really good book, and then I think they tried to make a movie about it that was the failure, but I remember that book being pretty good.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. A little Hey Man Bleep That. We'll wrap up the show, and then AJ's gone for the rest of the week.
Yeah, buddy.
Jong and I will be back Thursday and Friday. Jerome Solomon will be in the house. We'll have some great guests. We're going to have the Whiskey Brothers here on Thursday. We're going to have RJ on Friday. And, yeah, and then AJ will be back on Monday. We'll do the whole thing again. I hope everybody has tomorrow off besides us. Usually we don't take these days off, but this one we are.
Are you talking to the people or to the station?
I'm talking to the people, okay. Man. I know somebody's got to work here. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. I got to stay
late. Some crackhead is sick. Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hey, make sure that even if you're off, you check out SportsMap.com. We'll have some stuff up tomorrow, including a story from one of our interns on how the playoffs would look in the NBA if you just went by best records, how it would have looked this past year. Okay. And we'll have our World Cup recap, which I'm working on now, by the way, since I just now got it a few minutes ago, grumble. But, yeah, we'll have all that on sportsmap.com, so check it out, and including some stuff for you on the 4th, and then back to normal on Thursday. There will be no AJ this week because he's not here. So there you go. All right, do you guys have a Hey Man Bleep That?
I do.
Yeah.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, can you guys go first because I'm actually having to –
Yeah, mine has to do with cleanliness, and often I find myself in the kitchen using paper towels because...
I thought you were going to talk about the restroom this week.
Oh, no, God, I can't even begin to...
Yeah.
I don't, right now, it's horrible. Last week was horrible because I'm pretty sure it was Jose who decimated it. He won't admit to it, but he's who I saw leaving the scene of the crime. And I've never smelled the bath. And we have a really awful bathroom here. We've documented that many times before, but this is the worst it's ever been. And Jose was the person I saw leaving right before I went in. And it smelled like the smell of opening up an animal that's been sick for a while.
Yeah.
Like you found a deer on the side of the road and then you tried to clean it in your garage. That's how it would smell.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And today's not much better. It's a little bit better, but not much better. I mean, it was like tearing the paint off the walls last week. No, this is about kitchen towels. Do you keep like a towel on your oven or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How about this? 100 kitchen towels were tested. 49 of them tested positive for E. coli.
Ugh.
Which, in turn, could give you food poisoning because, you know, it's microorganisms. There's contaminated meat, and then you're obviously cooking it, but some of that raw meat splatter may get onto your kitchen towels, which obviously you wipe your wet hands on them.
Yeah.
What do bacteria, once they get wet, it helps for growth. It's just gross. And I've decided I'm just not going to touch my wife's pretty good about changing out those towels.
Yeah, we rotate those pretty regularly.
I'm already out on sponges. Like, I don't touch the sponges in the kitchen. And I think now kitchen towel has been moved to my no-do list.
Mm.
To that I say, hey, man, that.
John,
okay. I'll do this very quickly. There was there's a rumor, and Netflix is testing this in certain parts of Europe that they're going to be.
Did you just say Europe?
Europe. They're going to be hiking prices. There's a couple of different packages. You get a premium package and an ultra package. And right now, I think most people have the standard package where you get a lot of your stuff in HD. And apparently, they're testing this out with just a couple of people. And apparently there might be a $3 or $4 hike if you want the ultra or the premium package.
Oh, great.
Which will give you more login, different places where you can log in. Like you can have multiple logins at the same time and you can have what they call HDR. I'm guessing it's 4K.
Will it give me more content?
I don't think so. Just better quality.
Wow.
And to that, I say, hey man, fuck that.
All right, mine is mine comes from a Texas high school senior, was named class valedictorian.
Thank you.
Her name Destiny Brannon.
Oh,
DeSoto High School. Well, after telling her she was valedictorian, high school officials told her they miscalculated her final rankings, and she was actually fourth in her class instead of first.
Oh no!
Despite graduating and delivering her valedictorian speech on May 31, her school alerted her about the mistake on June 12th, a week after she attended freshman orientation for her university.
Oh man!
Says it turns out the school had calculated the rankings based on fall semester grades instead of spring. Not only did she lose the title, she also lost her scholarship that Texas grants to solely public school valedictorians. So she doesn't get to go to Texas now. But her family is trying to figure out her yearly tuition, but they believe it's because she was critical of the school and the teachers in her speech. So, to that I say,
hey man, f*** that.
All right. Pretty simple.
Hard.
Well, Mr. Hoffman.
It's been real.
Enjoy your Little League World Series, or not Little League, but your World Series.
Yep.
Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Jong, enjoy your fourth. America, enjoy your fourth. We'll be back. Well, I'll be back on Thursday. Hope you guys have a great one. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.
Crossfire, so I thank you. I never had the courage to sign my name.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.